Listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. This is part two of our coverage of the third presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. We will pick up the debate in progress. And now here's part two.
The next topic, which is the economy, and I hope we handle that as well as we did immigration. You also have very different ideas about how to get the economy growing faster. Secretary Clinton, in your plan, government plays a big role. You see more government spending, more entitlements, more tax credits, more tax penalties. Mr. Trump, you want to get government out with lower taxes and less regulation.
Yes.
We're going to drill down into this a little bit more, but in this overview, please explain to me why you believe that your plan will create more jobs and growth for this country and your opponent's plan will not. In this round, you go first, Secretary Clinton.
Well, I think when the middle class thrives, America thrives. And so my plan is based on growing the economy, giving middle class families many more opportunities. I want us to have the biggest jobs program since World War II, jobs in infrastructure and advanced manufacturing. I think we can compete with high-wage countries, and I believe we should. New jobs and clean energy, not only to fight climate change, which is a serious problem, but to create new opportunities and new businesses. I want us to do more to help small business. That's where two-thirds of the new jobs are going to come from. I want us to raise the national minimum wage because people who live in poverty should not, who work full-time should not still be in poverty. And I sure do want to make sure women get equal pay for the work we do. I feel strongly that we have to have an education system that starts with preschool and goes through college. That's why I want more technical education in high schools and in community colleges, real apprenticeships to prepare young people for the jobs of the future. I want to make college debt-free and for families making less than $125,000. You will not get a tuition bill from a public college or university if the plan that I worked on with Bernie Sanders is enacted. And we're going to work hard to make sure that it is, because we are going to go where the money is. Most of the gains in the last years since the Great Recession have gone to the very top. So we are going to have the wealthy pay their fair share. We're going to have corporations make a contribution greater than they are now to our country.
First of all, she wants more and more government spending. This investment is government spending. They're not making a contribution. They're being coerced into paying more taxes. They're already overtaxed. This is using government to take the hard-earned income of people and give it to someone else. They want to interfere with the private sector. Climate change is not a crisis, but they're using flawed models whose predictions have been wrong, wrong, and wrong to justify you paying more money for electricity and gasoline. When you cut through the chase, that's what it's about, and that will cripple U.S. industry. You should unleash U.S. industry, and the private sector has done that, and now we have largest reserves of both petroleum and natural gas, adding to our reserves of coal. We can, if we want, be totally energy independent. No thanks to the federal government here. Thanks to the initiative of free enterprise in a market capitalist system. The minimum wage is, who benefits from the minimum wage? Who loses from the minimum wage? Let's take who loses first. The young, primarily teenagers. You need to first understand less than 3% of the workforce gets the minimum wage. Most people earn considerably more than the minimum wage. The reason why they want to increase it, who benefits? Unions. Why? Because once you increase the minimum wage, then the wage structure of everyone in a union goes up. By how much? By the increase. Who are the biggest supporters of the Democratic Party? The unions. They don't care about teenagers and the poor. What happens when you increase the minimum wage is a number of things. Number one, people that are employed get dismissed, laid off, because their employer can't afford them any longer. People that could have gotten a job at the previous or going wage now can't find a job. And then you have businesses going out of business. This is government intervention into the marketplace. It hurts the employee. It hurts the employer. I don't want people to earn the minimum wage. I want them to go in the marketplace and get the maximum wage. However, whatever amount, based on their talents, abilities, and experience, someone is willing to pay for that. They always want to spend more and more and more money on education, government education. And what has happened? Fewer and fewer people are graduating, and the ones that are graduating, many of them can't read, write, or talk. K through 12 education in the United States is broken. Oh, they're good schools, and you might be fortunate to go to one. But many people, especially in the inner cities that the Democratic Party rules, are getting a terrible education. Nothing will change because the biggest support of the Democratic Party are the teachers' unions. They've messed up K through 12. They're messing up colleges. Standards are going down. They're dumbing down the courses. And that's a topic of an entire show. The answer is not more and more government. And that, unfortunately, is what Hillary Clinton is about. The answer to society's problem is another government program, another law, another tax increase, another regulation. And they fail, and they fail, and they fail. That's insanity, folks. That's insanity. Unfortunately, Donald Trump and the Republican Party, they're a big government party, too. That's why I've given up on both parties. They want to dramatically increase the role, the size, the function of the federal government. And as a result, we have an economy that's stagnating. We have an education system that is slowly failing. And we live in an increasingly dangerous world because of the incompetence and appeasement of our president and secretary of state.
That is a plan that has been analyzed by independent experts, which said that it could produce 10 million new jobs. By contrast, Donald's plan has been analyzed to conclude it might lose 3.5 million jobs. Why? Because his whole plan is to cut taxes, to give the biggest tax breaks ever to the wealthy and to corporations, adding $20 trillion to our debt and causing the kind of dislocation that we have seen before, because it truly will be trickle-down economics on steroids. So the plan I have, I think, will actually produce greater opportunities. The plan he has will cost us jobs and possibly lead to another great recession.
Secretary, thank you. Mr. Trump, why?
Her plan will put the United States economy into a recession. So if you value your job or are looking for a job, I wouldn't vote Democratic. There's no guarantees here. But increasing taxes is the wrong way to go. They want to, and I mean the Democratic Party, are fast going down that road to serfdom, and that ends in an authoritarian or totalitarian regime where you have less and less freedom, a lower standard of living, and more government intervening in your lives. At least 2/3 to 3/4 of the American people know that this is the wrong way. It's not going to lead to prosperity. It hasn't led to prosperity. This is the worst economic recovery since they started collecting economic statistics in roughly 1948. It's another disaster. The legacy of the Obama administration is one of failure economically as well as in terms of foreign policy. And Hillary Clinton would continue that legacy and most likely make it a lot worse.
Will your plan create more jobs and growth than Secretary Clinton?
Well, first of all, before I start on my plan, her plan is going to raise taxes and even double your taxes. Her tax plan is a disaster. And she can say all she wants about college tuition. And I'm a big proponent. We're going to do a lot of things for college tuition, but the rest of the public's going to be paying for it. We will have a massive, massive tax increase under Hillary Clinton's plan. But I'd like to start off where we left, because when I said Japan and Germany, and I'm not to single them out, but South Korea, these are very rich, powerful countries, Saudi Arabia, nothing but money. We protect Saudi Arabia. Why aren't they paying? She immediately, when she heard this, I questioned it. And I questioned NATO. Why aren't the NATO questioned? Why aren't they paying? Because they weren't paying. Since I did this, this was a year ago, all of a sudden they're paying. And I've been given a lot of credit for it. All of a sudden they're starting to pay up. They have to pay up. We're protecting people. They have to pay up. And I'm a big fan of NATO, but they have to pay up. She comes out and said, we love our allies. We think our allies are great. Well, it's awfully hard to get them to pay up when you have somebody saying, we think how great they are. We have to tell Japan in a very nice way. We have to tell Germany, all of these countries, South Korea. We have to say, you have to help us out. We have, during his regime, during President Obama's regime, we've doubled our national debt. We're up to $20 trillion. So my plan, we're going to renegotiate trade deals. We're going to have a lot of free trade. We're going to have free trade, more free trade than we have right now. But we have horrible deals. Our jobs are being taken out by the deal that her husband signed, NAFTA, one of the worst deals ever. Our jobs are being sucked out of our economy. You look at all of the places that I just left. You go to Pennsylvania, you go to Ohio, you go to Florida, you go to any of them. You go upstate New York. Our jobs have fled to Mexico and other places. We're bringing our jobs back. I am going to renegotiate NAFTA. And if I can't make a great deal, then we're going to terminate NAFTA and we're going to create new deals. We're going to have trade. But we're going to terminate it. We're going to make a great trade deal. And if we can't, we're going to go a separate way, because it has been a disaster. We are going to cut taxes massively. We're going to cut business taxes massively. They're going to start hiring people. We're going to bring the $2.5 trillion that's offshore back into the country. We are going to start the engine rolling again, because right now our country is dying at 1% GDP.
Well, let me translate that if I can, Chris, because
you can't.
The fact is, he's going to advocate for the largest tax cuts we've ever seen, three times more than the tax cuts under the Bush administration.
Mrs. Clinton, that's what we should be doing. You apparently don't understand it. She is arguing class warfare. You're giving a big tax break to the rich, and they're foolish people that fall for it. The so-called rich pay more than their fair share. Just look at go to the Tax Foundation. They have the information from the IRS. Look what the top 0.1% pay, the top 1%, 5%, 10%, 15%. Those are the facts, straight from the IRS. They're paying more than their fair share, as they should. Her answer, again, for everything is more taxes, more government. She has no conception what it takes to start a new business. Oh, she knows that most of the jobs, two-thirds of the jobs, come from small businesses. And what are you doing by dramatically increasing taxes? Those are negative incentives. We have the highest tax rates on our business, corporate rates, in the entire world. You can't compete with that. And what do U.S. companies do? They're moving abroad. All the Democratic Party today is for is big government. They have abandoned a free enterprise market capitalist system. They want to turn it into a socialist system, a much larger warfare and welfare state. The American people don't want that. They're tired of the economy growing at below historical rates. They're tired of having millions of people, tens of millions of people out of a job. They're tired of having to compete with tens of millions of illegal aliens. What Mrs. Clinton, Barack Obama, and the Democratic Party want is simply not in the best interest of the American people. You need to reduce taxes, you need to reduce regulations, and you need to reduce the size of the federal government. This lady wants to do just the opposite. Down that road lies failure, and it doesn't end well.
I have said repeatedly throughout this campaign, I will not raise taxes on anyone making $250,000 or less. I also will not add a penny to the debt. I have costed out what I'm going to do. He will, through his massive tax cuts, add $20 trillion to the debt. Well, he mentioned the debt.
She'll add hundreds of billions to the debt. Because if the economy goes into a recession, and it would, what happens? People are not working. They're laid off. Tax revenues to the government go down, dramatically down, like they did in the so-called Great Recession that ended in June of 2009, started in December 2007. A dramatic decline in payroll taxes and income taxes. What does that do? That means larger deficits, where a deficit is the government is spending more money than it's collecting in taxes. So how do you make up the difference? How do you pay the bill? You go into debt. The lady is lying. Now, if you don't follow this, you don't understand economics, you have no background in business, you might believe her. You might fall for this. I'm not. This lady is incompetent. She would be a disaster. I'm not voting for either one of them. And it turns on the fact that both parties today are big government parties. They have lost my trust and the trust of millions of Americans because Americans now feel that both parties have sold them out. Both parties have been corrupted by the so-called donor class, the rich. You see, she's giving you her public view, but it's not a real view. Her real view is the private view that she gives to her masters, the people that have bought and paid for her.
I know how to get control of the debt. When my husband was president, we went from a $300 billion deficit to a $200 billion surplus, and we were actually on the path to eliminating the national debt. When President Obama came into office, he inherited the worst economic disaster since the Great Depression. He has cut the deficit by two-thirds. So, yes, one of the ways you go after the debt, one of the ways you...
Yeah, he's cut the deficit from $1,400 billion. The last deficit was $587 billion. That's cutting. A balanced budget, the deficit in a year, that's what we're talking about. A U.S. federal budget deficit should be zero. If you're living within the means of the American people, it should be zero. It shouldn't be $587 billion. It certainly shouldn't be $1,400 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the symptoms of out-of-control government spending on parade. And the big drivers are what? Entitlement programs, namely Social Security, Medicare, and now the Affordable Care Act, and welfare programs. Over 60% of the budget. And they want to make it bigger. More spending. They apparently have not gotten the memo. The United States is broke. The economy is in decline. The American empire is in decline. We need, as soon as possible, to fundamentally reform entitlement programs and welfare programs. Living in a dream world of continuing down that road to failure, oblivious to the consequences. How does that impact you and me? If we go into a worldwide depression, and that is very possible, many of you will lose your jobs. Remember in the Great Depression, where we didn't have as accurate statistics as we have today, they're all based on samples or surveys. It was estimated that the unemployment rate got to 24.9%. In other words, in round numbers, one out of every four Americans was unemployed at the height of the Depression in 1933, in March of 33. Government actions prolonged that depression. Government intervention, wage and price controls, regulation after regulation, very similar to what Obama and Hillary Clinton want. It was a disaster, and it was only after World War II that the economy truly came back and had a period of roughly 25 years of boom times. I'm staying home. I can't vote for Hillary Clinton or any Democrat, and for that matter, the same is true of the Republican Party. They don't show vision. They don't show courage. They have no urgency. Business as usual. Kick the can down the road I'll be out of here and retired before it hits the fan. This is not leadership, folks. This is not leadership. It's a disgrace. Neither Mr. Trump nor Hillary Clinton is the best and brightest, and they're certainly not the wisest or virtuous. They're both flawed candidates. Take your pick. Of the two, Mr. Trump, in many areas, I agree with, but I don't trust him. I think he's going to double cross us and support the Republican Party and going towards touchback amnesty. In the economic area, he's simply not bold enough. We need to scrap our income tax system and go to a broad-based consumption tax that would attract investment from around the world into the United States, because we wouldn't have a tax on income, nor would we have a tax on labor. No capital gains at all being taxed. That's the way to go, but we're not talking about that. We're arguing about which plan is best. Who knows? I'm not impressed with either one of them. Hillary Clinton got the sign wrong. In other words, she's going in the wrong direction. At least Donald Trump got the sign right. Who knows who's right and by how much? American people can't determine that. This is not leadership. This is followership. And we're wasting time because this all blows up. There's a day of reckoning coming down sometime between now and 2040. I think it'll be around sometime in the early 2030s. And the reason is very simple. By then, all the baby boom generation will be retired, and they all will be collecting their Social Security and Medicare benefits. And then when you add entitlement programs and welfare programs, it'll take the entire federal budget plus interest. There's no sense of urgency. There's no vision here. It's very much a defense of the status quo. Of the two, Trump is definitely better, but frankly, neither would I write home about. The only saving grace of Mr. Trump is he did pick, I thought, one of the best people as his VP. And there's been suspicion that Donald Trump would only want one term. And if that means Mike Pence has the inside track, I'll stand by Mike Pence. Yes, even though he is a Republican. Because he understands that this government is out of control. Spending is out of control. We have to rein it in. And we have to have fundamental tax reform. And he understands the fair tax and the advantages of a broad-based tax. What I'm going to do is divide this show in two and give two parts. I'm almost at the three-hour point. So after I edit it down, it'll probably be 2 one-hour shows. I'm not going to have time, nor do I have the patience to go through the rest of this. I would have hoped that I thought the moderator did a good job. Wallace, Chris Wallace. But I think he made a mistake. I think he should have went with the most important issues that the American people are interested in, and this is the economy. And he waited towards the end of the, well, not the end, about a third in before he got really started with it.
To create jobs is by investing in people.
There she goes again, investing in people. What? See, this is the trick she uses, and all the Democrats are using it. We want to invest in people. What does that mean? We want to tax people, and then the government will spend money. She wants to increase government spending. Investment equals government spending. This is the nonsense that you have to put up with. This is deceitful. This is lying, using language, twisting language to fake you out. Don't fall for the nonsense.
So I do have investments in new jobs, investments in education, skill training, and the opportunities for people to get ahead.
More and more government spending. Lady, don't you understand that is the private sector businesses that do the investing? More and more money wasted in education is not an answer. It is not an answer. Because I've seen the final product, and I'm not impressed at all. And neither is the private sector. Government schools and colleges are not turning out the best, the brightest at all.
Stay ahead. That's the kind of approach, Secretary, that will work. Cutting taxes on the wealthy, we've tried that.
Secretary,
it has not worked the way that it has been
Secretary
promised.
Secretary Clinton, I want to pursue your plan, because in many ways it is similar to the Obama stimulus plan in 2009, which has led to the slowest GDP growth since 1949.
Correct.
Thank you, sir. You told me in July when we spoke that the problem is that President Obama didn't get to do enough in what he was trying to do with his stimulus. So is your plan basically more, even more of the Obama stimulus?
Well, it's a combination, Chris. And let me say that when you inherit the level of economic catastrophe that President Obama inherited, it was a real touch-and-go situation. I was in the Senate before I became Secretary of State. I've never seen people as physically distraught as the Bush administration team was because of what was happening to the economy. I personally believe that the steps that President Obama took saved the economy. He doesn't get the credit he deserves for taking some very hard positions. But it was a terrible recession. So now we've dug ourselves out of it. We're standing, but we're not yet running. So what I am proposing is that we invest from the middle out.
In other words, spend more government money, tax you.
Round up, not the top down. That is not going to work.
Excuse me, it worked for Kennedy. It worked for Reagan.
That's why what I have put forward doesn't add a penny to the debt, but it is the kind of approach that will enable more people to take those new jobs, higher paying jobs. We're beginning to see some increase in incomes, and we certainly have had a long string of increasing jobs. We've got to do more to get the whole economy moving, and that's what I believe I will be able to do.
Mr. Trump, even conservative economists who have looked at your plan say that the numbers don't add up, that your idea, and you've talked about 25 million jobs created, 4%
over a 10-year period
growth, is unrealistic. And they say, you talk a lot about growing the energy industry, they say with oil prices as low as they are right now, that's unrealistic as well. Your response?
So I just left some high representatives of India. They're growing at 8%. China is growing at 7%, and that for them is a catastrophically low number. We are growing, our last report came out, and it's right around the 1% level, and I think it's going down. Last week, as you know, the end of last week, they came out with an anemic jobs report, a terrible jobs report. In fact, I said, is that the last jobs report before the election? Because if it is, I should win easily. It was so bad. The report was so bad. Look, our country is stagnant. We've lost our jobs. We've lost our businesses. We're not making things anymore, relatively speaking. Our product is pouring in from China, pouring in from Vietnam, pouring in from all over the world. I've visited so many communities. This has been such an incredible education for me, Chris. I've gotten to know so many. I've developed so many friends over the last year. And they cry when they see what's happened. I passed factories that were thriving 20, 25 years ago. And because of the bill that her husband signed and she blessed 100%, it is just horrible what's happened to these people in these communities. Now, she can say that her husband did well, but boy, did they suffer as NAFTA kicked in, because it didn't really kick in very much, but it kicked in after they left. Boy, did they suffer. That was one of the worst things that's ever been signed by our country. Now she wants to sign Trans-Pacific Partnership, and she wants it. She lied when she said she didn't call it the gold standard in one of the debates. She totally lied. She did call it the gold standard, and they actually fact-checked, and they said I was right. I was so honored.
I want to give you a chance to briefly speak to that, and then I want to pivot to 1/6
and that
of the
will be
economy,
as bad as now.
Which is Obamacare, but go ahead.
Well,
briefly.
First, let me say, number one, when I saw the final agreement for TPP, I said I was against it. It didn't meet my tests. I've had the same tests. Does it create jobs, raise incomes, and further our national security? I'm against it now. I'll be against it after the election. I'll be against it when I'm president. There's only one of us on this stage who's actually shipped jobs to Mexico, because that's Donald. He's shipped jobs to 12 countries, including Mexico. But he mentioned China. And, you know, one of the biggest problems we have with China is the illegal dumping of steel and aluminum into our markets. I have fought against that as a senator. I've stood up against it as Secretary of State. Donald has bought Chinese steel and aluminum. In fact, the Trump hotel right here in Las Vegas was made with Chinese steel. So he goes around with crocodile tears about how terrible it is, but he has given jobs to Chinese steel workers, not American steel workers.
Mr. Trump?
That's the kind of approach that is just not going to work. We're going to pull the country together. We're going to have trade agreements that we enforce. That's why I'm going to have a trade prosecutor for the first time in history. And we're going to enforce those agreements. And we're going to look for businesses to help us by buying American products.
I ask a simple question. She's been doing this for 30 years. Why the hell didn't you do it over the last 15, 20 years? You were very much involved. Excuse me. My turn. You were very much involved in every aspect of this country. Very much. And you do have experience. I'd say the one thing you have over me is experience, but it's bad experience because what you've done has turned out badly. For 30 years, you've been in a position to help. And if you say that I use steel or I use something else, I make it impossible for me to do that. I wouldn't mind. The problem is you talk, but you don't get anything done, Hillary. You don't. Just like when you ran the State Department, $6 billion was missing. How do you miss $6 billion? You ran the State Department. $6 billion was either stolen. They don't know. It's gone. $6 billion. If you become president, this country is going to be in some mess, believe me.
Well, first of all, what he just said about the State Department is not only untrue, it's been debunked numerous times. But I think it's really an important issue. He raised the 30 years of experience. So let me just talk briefly about that. You know, back in the 1970s, I worked for the Children's Defense Fund.
She always goes back to the Children's Defense Fund. Good. If you want to volunteer for that, fine. What about the 15 million black babies that were killed by Planned Parenthood? Black babies. And over 10 million Hispanic and millions of white babies. You see, you're looking at the face of a eugenics racist. How do they go about killing babies? It's called Planned Parenthood and other organizations like that. They don't value life. They value their power, but they don't value human life. They don't respect it. They don't value it. It's about power and money. How do I get power and money? And they will say and do anything to keep in power and stay in power. And they will tell you one thing, the public, and another thing to the people that buy them as politicians. Don't be fooled. I was a young volunteer for the Children's Defense Fund. What about all those defenseless babies that were killed and are being killed every day by Planned Parenthood, who endorses you, and you got their Margaret Sanger Award? You disgust me, ma'am.
Fund, and I was taking on discrimination against African-American kids in schools. He was getting sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination in his apartment buildings. In the 1980s, I was working to reform the schools in Arkansas. He was borrowing $14 million from his father to start his businesses. In the 1990s, I went to Beijing, and I said, women's rights are human rights. He insulted a former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado, called her an eating machine. And on the day when I was in the Situation Room monitoring the raid that brought Osama bin Laden to justice, he was hosting The Celebrity Apprentice. So I'm happy to compare my 30 years of experience, what I've done for this country, trying to help in every way I could, especially kids and families, get ahead and stay ahead, with your 30 years, and I'll let the American people make that decision.
Well, I think I did a much better job. I built a massive company, a great company, some of the greatest assets anywhere in the world, worth many, many billions of dollars. I started with a $1 million loan. I agree with that. It's a $1 million loan. But I built a phenomenal company. And if we could run our country the way I've run my company, we would have a country that you would be so proud of. You would even be proud of it. And frankly, when you look at her real record, take a look at Syria. Take a look at the migration. Take a look at Libya. Take a look at Iraq. She gave us ISIS because her and Obama created this huge vacuum. And a small group came out of that huge vacuum because we should have never been in Iraq. But once we were there, we should have never got out the way they wanted to get out. She gave us ISIS as sure as you are sitting there. And what happened is now ISIS is in 32 countries. And now I listen how she's going to get rid of ISIS. She's going to get rid of nobody.
All right. We are going to get to foreign hotspots. in a few moments, but the next segment is...
I'm going to end part two here. I will be dividing this show up into two shows, and I more or less ended it at the halfway point, and that's all I'll be doing is two shows. I won't do a third part because I think we have covered most of the great concerns of the American people, especially the last segment dealing with the economy. We have a two-party system in the United States that's dominated this country from roughly 1850 to through today. We have the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And those two parties have given us Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump as their candidates. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I dare say I'm not alone. More and more people are leaving both parties for the simple reason they're tired of the lies, they're tired of the deceptions, they're tired of the rhetoric, they're tired of the talk. They thought they were choosing representatives, leaders, and they haven't delivered. The American people want results. They want the tough decisions to be made, and they simply have not been by either party. And it's clear to me, if it's not clear to you, that both parties have betrayed the American people. They're more concerned about illegal aliens, especially Mrs. Clinton. And I frankly don't care what steel Donald Trump used in his hotels. That's the tactic of personalizing it and wasting my time and your time. You really only have two choices in this election. Maybe in 4 years, 8 years, 16 years, we might have another party that truly will have people of integrity, people of principle, that believe in the United States Constitution, believe that the core problem is we don't have limited government. We have a huge, mammoth, and growing, obese, bloated government that is taking valuable resources from the entire economy and devoting it to what they think should be done. It hasn't worked out. We need to get back from becoming what we are today, a warfare and welfare state of the American empire, and become a peace and prosperity economy with an American republic. Neither of these candidates would accomplish that. They would make government bigger and bigger and bigger when it should be shrinking, drastically shrinking, from roughly at its peak of 24% down to 10%. We're nowhere close. Last time I looked, we're running around 18-19%. We're slightly below 20. But that's unrealistic because those massive deficits are going right back up because we're not making the tough decisions to get government spending under control. We're not doing it. And neither of these candidates will. They're both big government candidates. Donald Trump is better. I will concede that. But he's not the answer. And Hillary Clinton is beyond the pale. She is the worst candidate that's ever run for president. And as far as I'm concerned, she lacks integrity, character. She's not honest. She lies. I don't trust her. And I think she's incompetent. She just says what she thinks you want to hear, not what you need to hear. And the reason she does that, she says what you want to hear because she wants to be president. This is all about electing Hillary Clinton as the first woman president. I don't care who the first woman president is, except she better be competent and she better have character. And this woman fails that test on both counts. She would be a disaster. Would Donald Trump be much better? I don't know. I certainly do not know. And before I wrap the show up, and I need to close, before this campaign got started, I said, there must be better people out there that, and I know there are, people of character, integrity, principle, executive skills, communication skills. And I think there's not one. I think there are many, hundreds, maybe even thousands, but they're not in politics. They're not career politicians. They don't want any part of this. So I'll give Donald Trump some credit. He stepped up to the plate. He didn't need to do this. And he was warned by his friends, don't do it. They won't play by any rules. There are no rules. They will use anything and anything and say anything and try to ruin your reputation. And their allies and big lie media will help her. So if you ask me why don't those people enter the ring, I think you've seen it in this election. And that's a shame. There are some very, very talented people that run large, large organizations and corporations. Well-respected, well-liked, competent on almost any scale. And they never would even consider running for president. That's how bad it's become. Oh, there are dozens of career politicians that want to run for president, but most of them simply aren't that impressive. They aren't, because most of them are followers. They're not leaders. The American people are looking for a leader, and that's why I think Donald Trump is going to win. You cut through all of it, all the rhetoric, all the position papers, whether you like him or not, and I don't particularly care for him, by the way. He is a leader. He tells it the way it is. He's a fighter, too. He's not one of those rollover Republicans. When the Democrats say roll over, the rollover Republicans say how many times? We have many of those in the Republican Party. I'm staying home. I have that luxury because I'm in Texas. Texas will be voting for Donald Trump. Donald Trump will carry Texas. If I thought it was close, and I don't, I would have to seriously reconsider my position. I would vote for Trump. I could never vote for Hillary Clinton. And what I think you're not seeing in polls, and you're certainly not seeing in big lie media, is Hillary Clinton has a reputation. It's not a good reputation, as does Bill Clinton. There are many, many people that are not going to express a view one way or the other. In the past, they were called the silent majority. I believe the silent majority is going to come out on November 8th and vote for Donald Trump in numbers that will make him the next president. Right now, it looks like it could be close in terms of the Electoral College. And who knows what's going to happen in the roughly, I think, next 18 days. Anything could happen. And 18 days is a long time. But when all the votes are finally cast, I think Donald Trump will be the next president. And I just hope he fulfills his expectations. Because to the extent that he is successful, I think the American people will benefit. My only reservation, and it's a big reservation, concerns immigration. Because we're really not telling, first of all, just the sheer size of the problem, nor are we being honest. First, with ourselves, what's going on, and the fact that it is hurting the American people. It is hurting future generations. It's a privilege if you're not born in the United States, of citizens of the United States. And it is very much a privilege to be granted U.S. citizenship. That's how I view it. And I would encourage legal immigration. No more than 500,000, no fewer than 250,000 per year. Some want it higher, some want it lower, some want it zero. But I'm very much with the majority of the American people, Democrats, Republicans, progressives, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, classical liberals, that do not want the invasion of this country to continue. In other words, the illegal alien invasion must be stopped, both at our borders and people overstaying their visas. Don't keep in mind, that's upwards of a half the problem. It's not all U.S.-Mexican border. And the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are here, including their children, need to self-deport. In other words, go back on their own accord to their country of origin. See, many of the, something that is not said, but people that work with illegal aliens will tell you, many of them don't want to be U.S. citizens. Did you hear that? They don't want to be U.S. citizens. They want the job here and the pay, but they want to go home. And that's a large number. That's what's never said. Certainly not by the Democrats, because they want to make them U.S. citizens. They want to give citizenship to people that have broken into the country and have broken our laws. If you reward crime, you're going to get more crime. And that's what the Democratic Party is advocating, and unfortunately, that's what a lot of the Republican Party is advocating. This problem will remain a problem until we remove and deport all the illegal aliens that are here. There are going to be a few hard cases and exceptions. But the overwhelming majority of people that are here illegal need to go home on their own accord. And if they don't, eventually they will. I'm sorry, but that's what every other country in the world does. And the American people, patience in this issue has been tried and tried and tried. And if you keep pushing them, sooner rather than later, you will have another political party that will beat both Democrats and Republicans at the poll and become a national party. And one or both parties will be a shadow of their former self. That's the price they're going to pay for double-crossing, selling out, lying and deceiving the American people. Throw all those bums, lying SOBs out of office. And the sooner you do that, the better for everybody. Thank you for listening. This will be the end of part two. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.